Father, we come before your holy presence to understand your word. Lord, we also understand the world's surroundings and the things that are happening all over the world points to the fact that our Savior is coming soon. Lord, even as we remember the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came unto His own, Lord. The world received Him not. But we thank You, Lord, that as many as received Him, gave Him power to become the sons of God. And Lord, we thank You today as we come. We are Your children because of our faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, if there is one person who have never understood what it means to be a Christian, and Lord, if he is here or she is here today, I pray You help us to have the heart to share with this person. And Lord, now as we want to understand the whole area of giving, Lord, I pray most of all that Thy Holy Spirit, the teacher, would teach us not only the letter but the Spirit of the Lord, that both together, Lord, we might truly worship You in spirit and in truth. So Lord, teach us today and help us, Father, to be Bible Christians, Christians who will follow Your word based on Your teaching of the Holy Spirit and what is written, Lord. And so we'll thank You for what You're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Okay, very often, by way of introduction, very often many people have been taught, okay, many even non-believers know that when you go to church, they expect you to give 10% of your salary. Okay, that's what generally has been taught. That's why many non-Christians don't like church. And say, all they ask for is money. All they want is your money. Is that true? In some churches, yes. In some churches, unfortunately, yes. You know, they will have been in situations whereby people are not allowed to leave until they empty their wallets, that kind of thing. Okay, they will station people around and they are asked to give and give. There was one time, there was this, they're just having fun, all right, upstairs. Some people have been asked to give. There was one particular lady that we knew, it's just a friend of another friend from Maranatha, and she was in this particular church that her friends, when she looked around, her friends was giving left, right, and center, skipping lunch, I think, just to collect the money to give to the church. It came to the point that she was very stumbled by this, and she just decided that that's not, if that's Christianity, then he doesn't want any part of that, okay? So, very often also, when you come to church, there's a pew from churches for funds, okay? And I know that there are sometimes building projects, such as what we have here. Building projects, people says, you need to give. I think in our church, we made it very clear that giving is oftentimes free will. In fact, all the time, it must be free will. But why is it free will? And there's a statement here that says there's a difference between giving to God and giving to the church. And we must be very careful also, because giving to God involves giving to the church. And people like to make that difference. I'll give to God when I'm ready, you know. I'm not going to be swayed by what the church says. Giving to God involves giving to the church. God and the church is not separated, okay? Because the church is a pillar and ground of truth. But you know, in the whole, if you look at the scriptures, the church is a place that God wants the funds to come in, okay? But I want us to understand biblically, where does this whole thing of giving come from? And how are we to practice that, okay? You will find many people say tithing is compulsory for the New Testament Christian. We want to look from the scriptures, alright, whether it is so. Okay, and hopefully by the end of the day, we will have a conviction about what it means to give to the Lord. Okay, so let's begin, alright. In the Bible, there's this thing called the law of first mention. Okay, law of first mention simply means that the first time it is mentioned is a very important starting point for a whole teaching of the Bible. Let's turn to Genesis 14 as we begin. Genesis 14 is the first time tithing is mentioned. Okay? It's important when we derive spiritual principles from the Bible on the particular subject, we need to go back to the first time it was mentioned. Okay? First time it is mentioned. Because usually the first time God wants to make an endorsement point. God wants to say, this is what it's all about. Okay? In terms of principle and spirit. The first time tithing is mentioned is in Genesis 14, verse 18 to 20. Okay, I'll just read. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, Abraham, gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Okay, so the first mention of tithes was when Abraham, who won the battle, won the spoils of war, and then he gave to Melchizedek, king of Salem. Some people believe Melchizedek is a real king, okay, a king of Salem. But then it seems interesting because there don't seem to be any background to this king, neither is there a place related to this king. So many some people believe that it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, alright? But important is, the Bible says in verse 20, and he gave him tithes of all. Of all. Okay, now what is that all? Look at Genesis 14, verse 15 and 16. And the Bible says, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. The Bible is clear here in verse 15 that he brought back the goods. What are the goods? The spoils of war. Okay, whatever that Abraham gotten from saving his brother Lot, and then he conquering defeating the other armies. Okay, and so from here we see that Abraham gave tithe of what he has received from the spoils of war. Okay? The idea here is the so-called tithing in the first place here. You don't tithe on what you have. You tithe on the increase of what you receive. Does that make sense? Okay, tithe on the receive. 3 points from here. Number one, tithe is always based on the increase, not what you have. Number two, another principle is the tithe was given because of a spoil of war. Okay? Or any increase. And the idea of giving is always giving a portion to someone who is higher. Okay? Any questions up to there? It's an offering. It's an offering. And one more point is, the spoil of war originally does not belong to the person. They received it. This is a very important principle on the side of it. We received everything that we ever have. Okay? Ken, any questions up to there? The second time tithe is mentioned, let's turn to Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22. Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22. The second time we hear the word tithe, it is in Bethel after Jacob had his famous dream. Jacob, do you have dreams? No. Famous dream, alright? Of angels descending and ascending from heaven. That's why we have in the army called the Jacob's Ladder today. Let me just read there. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tithe, the tenth, unto thee. Notice that Jacob promised a tenth of what God intends to give him, not a tenth of what he already had. Okay, once again, it is the increase. But it's interesting, the tithe was given. God says, Jacob says, if you give me, Lord, I'll give you back a tenth. Okay? So, any questions? So it's pretty straightforward here. Lord, you give to me, I'll give back to you. A tenth. Okay? Now, moving on, there's no more tithing mentioned until tithing in the Mosaic Law. There are three kinds of tithe in the Mosaic Law that we want to touch on. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 27. Okay? Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus 27. I'll just read. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. It was mandatory under the Mosaic Law, Okay, Leviticus 27 verse 30. Let's give you a background. Israel was an agricultural country. They plant crops, they have vineyards, etc. Okay? And so God says that whatever that comes out first of your trees, of your fruits, of whatever that you have gotten, 1/10 of it belongs to God. Listen, it is very clear. 1/10 of it belongs to God under the Mosaic law. The Jews had no right to it. The first 1/10 belongs to God. Full stop. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? And so then in verse 31, if a man will at all redeem out of his tithes, in other words, if you want to take away from the tithe for yourself, on top of that, you will add 20%. That's what he says here. And all the tithes of the land, and if a man will at all redeem all of his tithes, he shall add thereto a 1/5 part thereof. In other words, the first 1/10, if you want to use any of the first 1/10, God says, can you add another 20% on top of what was originally belonging to me? Okay? So that's what the Bible says here. In verse 30 again, it is holy unto the Lord. It's a set apart thing. It's a set apart thing to the Lord under the Mosaic law. Okay? In verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the 1/10 shall be set apart, holy unto the Lord. Whatever the shepherds have, whatever the oxen or the cattle that they have, out of the 10, one of them belongs to God. Okay? So that's under the Mosaic law. This first tithe is called the Lord's tithe. It belongs to God. No questions asked. You have to give to God. Okay? So many people will say, well, that's why we need to give our 1/10 to the Lord. Okay, that's mandatory, that belongs to the Lord. Then, in Numbers 18, let's turn there. Numbers 18. It's called the Lord's tithe, but some people call it the Levite's tithe also, because God uses that. Do you know why God actually wants the first 1/10? Let's look at Numbers 18:23. Okay? I'll read. Or maybe people on my left hand side here. Here, okay? You read Numbers 18 verse 23 and 24. Okay? 18, 23 and 24. Ready? 1, 2, go. The Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithe of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Okay? So, tithing in the Mosaic law, the Lord's tithe is primarily given to support the Levites. Because the Levites have no inheritance. They have nothing. Okay? And they're supposed to serve the temple. And so the other 11 tribes are supposed to support this particular group of the tribes, the Levites. Okay? I hope as you begin to see the Mosaic principle, how it translates to practice in the Christian church. Okay? Now, it's the principles they are looking at. And Paul actually drives the principle later on. Okay? So the first tithe is the Lord's tithe. Interestingly, there are two other tithes that God imposes, alright, on the nation of Israel. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, there's about many verses. But I want to highlight a few key points from here. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 5, I'll start from there. The Bible says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and your heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God. Ye shall rejoice, okay, in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Okay? So here God says that there's a particular place that you must bring your tithes to. Do you realize one thing, very importantly, I've always used this. You say, no, you have to give your tithe. You know? But when they mention the tithe, they're not very clear what is the tithe. In the tithing, in the Mosaic law, God only allows one place to bring the tithe to. You know where that is? The temple of Jerusalem. Because if you look at a few verses, look at verse 11. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes. Okay, verse 14. But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Look at verse 18. But thou must eat them before the Lord in the place which the Lord God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates. Look at verse 21. If the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to put His name there be too far from thee, then thou shalt kill of thy herd of thy flock, which the Lord hath commanded thee, as I have commanded thee, and thou shalt eat thy gates wheresoever thy soul lusteth after. So, God has a particular place that we actually have to bring our tithes to. Okay, so today, if you want to give your tithe, I always tell people you're going to bring it to Jerusalem. Because God said in the Bible, there's it, there it is. Okay? Because in the interpretation of the tithe, many times people would say, okay, tithe is 1/10, literal, but then it's okay if we don't follow the others. That's not how we apply the scripture. Does it make sense? There's a principle we glean, and if the principle is based on the literal interpretation, then we actually have to follow all the other things. Okay? So we need to be very clear on that. The second tithe here is oftentimes known as the festival tithe, whereby as the Jewish people come, they celebrate God's goodness, they bring in their tithe to give to the Lord. Okay? So remember, there's tithe, the first tenth belongs to God, mandatory 10%. Then there's a festival tithe, the second 10%, 20% already. So you want to follow the Bible in tithing in the Bible is 20%. Does that make sense? Any questions up to there? If you truly want to follow biblical tithing, it's 20%, not 10%. But there's one more tithe. Alright? Tithe number 3. Let me just finish tithe 2 first. It's only to be eaten in the place that God has designated, or in the case of people living far in their own hometowns. Okay? Burnt offerings and sacrifices and special gifts are also included. The celebration of this tithe is seen as an event to foster national unity. But the people, it's mandatory for them to give. God says, you will give. So two mandatory tithes, 10%, 10%, 20% already. For the children of Israel. Tithe number 3. The third category of tithing in the Mosaic Law. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, 28-29. This is a special tithe that reflects the heart of God. For those people who don't have so much, okay, it's oftentimes called the poor man's tithe. They call it the welfare tithe. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28, at the end of three years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and thou shalt lay it within thy gates. And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. So there's this third tithe that is collected once every 3 years, a 10%. Some people divide it into 3 years. So 1 year is how many? If it's 10% divided over 3 years is 3.5%, 3.33%. Okay? So which means a Jew logically will tithe minimum 23.33%. And you have to understand, the Jews tithe only when there's an increase. Right? So agriculturally, sometimes they have one or two or three harvests a year. So if they have two harvests a year, of the harvest that they are going to give to the Lord, it is 23.33% of that particular harvest. Because tithe is always on the increase. Right? So if there are two harvests a year, then they have to give 23.33% of the two harvests. If you apply that to our salary, our increase every month, if you earn $1,000, is $233. If you want to follow 10% in the Bible. Which is not such a bad thing. But you know, that was mandatory under the law for the Jews. Does that make sense? Any questions up to there? Okay? Then, the blessing is this. If you were to give, God says, I will bless you. Because in verse 29, it says that the Lord may bless thee in the work of all thy hand which thou doest. If you give the poor man's tithe. And by the way, it's mandatory. Kind of like a welfare. Kind of like a CDAC, you know, they deduct $1 from your paycheck every month, $1. $1 times 1 million is like $1 million a month. Alright, that's how they calculate. Any questions up to that? Tithing in the Mosaic Law. These three tithes are mandatory for the Jews. Okay, that's what God says here. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Oftentimes used, okay, to... to say, well, you need to give to the church. You need to give, you know, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. The last book of the Bible in... Which one? Oh, poor man's tithe. Or called the welfare tithe. Because God specifically notes that the stranger, the fatherless, the widow which are within thy gates, you are to give these tithes to feed them. Okay? And that's what Paul does in the New Testament. Does it make sense? He doesn't say you need to give so much, but he says we need to give to support these poor brethren. Remember? He collected an offering. Apparently there's a big earthquake in Jerusalem and Paul went around, hey, we need to collect something to help our brethren in Jerusalem. Okay, he went everywhere. He took out the offering to support. He didn't state any. He says, whatever thou have laid in store, whatever your purpose in your heart, you give to these people. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God actually had to judge or pronounce a severe warning on the children of Israel. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, here saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour a blessing, and there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer of your for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay? Now here God says that, I want you to be faithful in bringing your tithes, so that I will give you a blessing, and, verse 11, I will cause your ground to continue to grow. Now, I think we know in the Old Testament, national judgment is oftentimes on the agriculture. Because if you have no food, you will die. And God says, the only way you're going to get that continuously, if you give faithfully to me. Because that shows... Now, God is not greedy for our increase. You know why? Whatever we give belongs to Him anyway. But what God wanted the children of Israel to do is, I need you to learn to trust me. I need you to learn that in the times of despair, I want you still to put me first so that I can take care of you. But the children of Israel decided that sometimes they're going to do it their own way. And that's why there were national judgment. Okay? Remember, one of the things in the Mosaic Law, after every 7 years, 1 year, God says you have to leave the ground fallow. Right? Did the Jews do it? They didn't do it for 490 years. Talk about the patience of God. God waited 490 years before I said, okay, that's enough. Okay, I'm going to deal with you because, look, all these years, again and again, you went through 70 cycles. When are you going to learn? So God says, okay, that's fine. And God put the 70 years off. You know, when God put that 70 years, two things happened. One, He allowed the land to fallow again. Number two, the 70 years, God is taking back the 70 years that originally owed to Him. Okay? That's oftentimes used as a way of reminding us that when we actually do not give to God, God in judgment may have to deal with us. Okay? And it's not because God needs the funds, you know. God wants us to learn to trust Him. When we hold back what actually belongs to the Lord. Okay? Now, it's a bit of confusion here. Perhaps say, oh, Brother Johnny, you see on the one hand, it's Old Testament, and on the other hand, you say, but you know the principle is right? Can I say this? If our service belongs to God, then we ought to give it. What did Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says? I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. Well, what belongs to God anyway? Why are we holding it back? But you know what? Sometimes we do. And you know what? God wants to bless us. But God doesn't have to take away from us, you know. God just stopped the blessing. He just doesn't give you any more. Does that make sense? And when God stops blessing us, our lives are without God's blessing. In other words, whatever we do is whatever comes naturally. And it's oftentimes in the flesh. Any questions out there? We need to understand this principle is very important. Okay, giving is something that people get very uptight when talk about the money in the church and all that kind of thing. But see it from God's perspective. Okay, now contextually though, in Malachi chapter 3, God is talking about the children of Israel. Because this is mandatory. This is something that you have to do. But if you don't do it, then you will be called, Malachi chapter 3, you'll be robbing God. Okay, oftentimes used also to scare people into giving. Now, any questions after that? That's Old Testament already. Now we are moving on to the New Testament, okay? Was tithing or giving taught in the New Testament? Let's turn to three passages, okay? If you look at the Bible or you do a search, there's only three times that tithing itself was mentioned in the New Testament. Okay, can I get maybe if, Tim, you can turn to Matthew 23:23. Then if Joshua, you can turn to Luke 11:42. And then we'll all turn to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5-9. Okay, Matthew 23:23, when you're ready, just read loud and clear. And I want you to hear what is the context of the tithe that Jesus is mentioning. Okay, Matthew 23:23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! When ye pay tithe of mint and anise, which and have committed the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, these are ye who have judged, not the other.
Here in Matthew 23, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees. And what was the Pharisees doing? They were very particular, okay? If I got 10 leaves of mint, I must pluck out one and give to God. Or if I got 10 anise, anise is a star, I believe, a kind of a spice. Got 10, I got to take one, give to God, and keep the other 9. They were very particular about this giving, but the Bible, Jesus says, look, you guys are so particular giving your 1/10, and you have omitted the more important things of the law, like mercy and love. And it's interesting what Jesus said here. Notice verse 23. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So Jesus is saying, go ahead and give. And that is what you need to do. But don't forget the other part too. You know what sometimes as Christians we do? Oh, I can do this, but you know I can't do that. You know what Jesus says? No, you do this and you do that too. Because Jesus wants us to develop as a whole person. Okay, that's something that's very, very important. Okay, and so here, but in the context, was he teaching us to tithe? Was Jesus teaching us to tithe in the New Testament? No, he was rebuking the Pharisees. Alright, context is very important. The next one, Luke 11:42. Okay.
Luke 11:42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herb, and pass over judgment and the love of God. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Okay, that's the second one. There's actually one more which I didn't mention. Remember the proud Pharisee, I give tithes of all that I have. Okay? So you're looking at these three in which Jesus mentioned, or the entire New Testament, entire Gospels. There's only these three parts, and it was not a teaching on tithing. Okay, let's turn to Hebrews 7. Another big part about tithing per se. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5-9. Okay, verse 5, the Bible says, and verily they that are sons of the Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. According to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, and there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. Now what is he talking about? Is he a teaching on tithing? Or is it a reflection of the Old Testament practice? Is it a teaching specifically or tithing or a reflection of the Old Testament practice? Paul was just using it to illustrate that Jesus was greater than the Levitical priesthood, the law. Does it make sense? So if you look at the context, Paul wasn't talking about a teaching on tithing. Whereas he was just telling here, we've been going through Hebrews in our family devotion, the Levitical priesthood, the law, cannot save. Because the Jews say, oh, you need to follow the law in order to be saved. But Paul is making a point. Look, even the law, the Levites had to give tithe to Melchizedek, which is of another tribe. Alright? Which is a higher, because he says in verse 9, verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And so if Levitical priesthood has to give tithe to Melchizedek, which is higher, the greater is blessed of the lesser. The lesser must give to the greater. Does it make sense? So the point here I'm trying to make is, the Bible does not teach tithing in the New Testament. Jesus did not teach tithing in the New Testament. Paul didn't teach tithing in the New Testament. Because the New Testament is our manual for New Testament church. Does it make sense? Any questions after that? Did I confuse you already? But actually very clear if you look at the trend of the teaching, okay? Please feel free to ask questions, alright? Yes. Sure. Okay, I thought through that too, but we have to ask ourselves, who was Jesus speaking to? He was speaking to the Pharisees. Okay, he was speaking to the Pharisees who was under the law. Okay? Principally, we can apply that, okay? We need to tithe. Let's say we believe in tithing, we need to tithe, but we tithe with a proper attitude, that we do the other things as well. Okay? Does that answer your question? Okay, we need to know the context. He's talking to the Pharisees. And because the Pharisees are saying, you're so good about those Levitical things and you're tithe, but you're forgetting these things. So the point and the thrust of the rebuke is not the tithing itself, but it's their hypocrisy. Okay? Now, tithing, I want to say this is a very important principle next. Tithing was never taught in the Bible, but giving is. In the New Testament. And there's a whole range of Bible verses on that. Okay, I've given you that. I'll read a few. Matthew 5:42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not away. Matthew 10:8, freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect or mature, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Mark 10:21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, said, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. Luke 11:41, but rather give alms of such things as ye have. Luke 12:33, sell that ye have and give alms. Acts 20:35, this is interesting because Jesus, these words were never found in the New Testament Gospels. But Paul obviously received it from Jesus himself, okay? Because it says, Acts 20:35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, or this is a giving passage for the church. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity according to the law, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The idea of increase. If you have, give. If you don't have, well, God won't hold you to that. I hope you can see one of the things very much, if you look at the trend of the Lord Jesus giving, giving is tied to the condition of your heart. Think about that. Because in the Old Testament law, it's mandated, you must give the 10%, you must give, you must give, you must give. You don't give, I will judge you. That's what God said. But in the New Testament, giving is tied to the condition of your heart. Because the Bible says very clearly, you give not of necessity, but willingly. You love, God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay? Now, any questions? Okay, any questions? Some people would argue, but Brother Johnny, you know, then it's like very, that means you just give what you want. True to a certain extent. But let me say this, how much you love God will be equal to how much you will give. There was one particular pastor, I think Pastor Johnny had shared this, it was really good. And there was one rich man in the church, those the FBI will probably have heard, rich man in the church, was I think gave what, 5,000 or 10,000 to the church. And said, I want to give this to the Lord. And then the pastor said, is this how much you love God? This rich man said, wait, let me go back and think about it. You know, in the end of all that thing, back and forth, I don't really remember. You don't remember that story? In the end, the guy gave much more than what he originally intended. I think about 5 times more, 50,000, rather than 10,000. You know? If you understand the Mosaic Law, remember Jesus, when in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, you have heard in old time, thou shalt not kill. But Jesus said, I say unto you, he was enforcing that spirit of the law now. You say you just follow the law, but tell you what, if you say you kill a person, and then he will be judged, but God says if you hate a person, what was he dealing with? He was dealing with the heart. Does that make sense? I hope you can see God actually elevates that principle of giving from the old to the new. Because the more you love Jesus, the more you love God, the more you give. Not just of money, but your time, your heart, and everything else. Any questions? Giving in the New Testament is tied very much to your heart. If you say, God, I'm going to give you this $2, even though you earn $20,000. So God say, okay. God said, okay, I'll just receive it because I understand that's a condition of your heart. And God's not going to force you to give. But at the same time, God says, then I cannot bless you as much. Okay? So there's that balance that we need to drive. But, you know, when I first studied this, many churches don't preach this. And many churches believe you need to give the tenth. Because it's very convenient. Everyone, you give you 10% of your income, it's good in going to support the church. But what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches the more you love God, the more you give. And the giving, make it clear, it's not just money, you know. It's what you feel about God. It's your life, it's your service, it's your attitudes. Does that make sense? But of course, very much also it ties to your purse. Okay? Any questions? So what is the Bible pattern? Oh, yes. I'm going to I was thinking through that also, because it is very true. They make it mandatory to the point that people feel guilty. Okay, but if you look at the trend of the New Testament scriptures, why I'm not too sure. I think one of the reasons could be it's a convenient number because I even look up Brother Cloud. Brother Cloud mentioned not that he's an authority, but generally people take it because tithing was a principle before the law. Because it was given in Genesis 14. The law was given in Exodus 20 onwards. So therefore they say, it's not in the law, therefore it should be practiced throughout. My contention is, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to teach us to give, gave us another principle. You know what the principle is? The principles of the widow's mite. What's a widow's mite? How much did she give? 100%. So it could be in the analysis of the whole thing, I'm going to mentioned in the summary after the conclusion, that 10% to God is a suggestion, because in the principle of the Old Testament, a tenth of what you have is in the Old Testament law. But you know, the Lord is not going to hold us to 10%. The Lord is going to say, how much you love me, you give. Because that's what Paul taught in the New Testament. Because according as your purpose in your heart, so let you give. 10% is a good guide as a start. And I'm thankful in our church, I believe many people give more than that. But some choose to give less because of this teaching. But can I say this? 10% in the Old Testament law is mandatory to God. Okay? Now I need to be careful to balance that, because, hey, well, Brother Johnny, you just said this. I'm not going to contradict myself. But I'm saying that in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus gave us a free will offering pattern. You give according to how much you love me. That is hard. Okay? But let me just give you hopefully that answers your question. There's a pattern given in the Old Testament, and many people claim because it's before the law, therefore, because it's given before the law, so the 10% is supposed to be given by all. Okay? What I'm saying is that in the New Testament, Jesus gave a higher principle. If you want to follow that, that's fine, 10%. That's okay. But you know what? The Lord Jesus said, as much as you love me, you give. Okay? Any questions? Yes?
I have a question on what you said earlier. If you have 10,000, you only give $2 for 10,000. But my God will receive it. But what is the principle behind what you said next, which is that but God cannot bless you more? Why does this follow?
Because God says this, how much you love me. The condition of your love will reflect your life. If you truly love the Lord more, you would give more. Okay? And so the amount that you give, it's not just the giving, you know. The $2 is actually a reflection of what? The way you live your life. Think about that. Check it in our own life. The amount you give is a reflection of who is the center of your life. The amount you give is a reflection of who is the center of your life. Because if you can think of, I'm going to give two to God, how much of the 10,000, what are you giving to the others? Because Jesus taught very clearly, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in the Lord's work, in God's people, in winning of souls, you put all you can into it. But if it's not a priority, you will put no effort in it. Does that make sense? And so God says this, okay? You reap what you sow. Because $2 to the local church, or to the support of the ministry, are you sowing abundantly? Because let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9, okay, rather than, because Paul actually says that. 2 Corinthians 9, because the verse before that, verse 6, I'll just read 2 Corinthians 9, 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Very clear, right? You reap what you sow. If $2 you put for a ministry, then God says, I'll give you back the $2. Remember, we talk about the law of sowing and reaping? God can certainly, let's say if $2 is all you have, God's going to bless. Remember the five loaves and two fishes? If that's all you have, God says, I'm going to show you I'm a God. You gave me 100%, I'm going to give you back 100%. And the 100% God gives, he fed 10,000 people. But you've got 10,000, give two. God says, let's see, there's something wrong with that heart. D.L. Moody was in a prayer meeting once, and this prayer meeting was a group of businessmen. And they said, Lord, and they were praying, Lord, we need $1,500 for a certain project. D.L. Moody stopped the prayer meeting. He said, you have the $1,500, why aren't you giving to God? Why are you praying for God to give you what you already have? You realize if we just put things in the storehouse, the church will grow? But you know what? We need to be very careful about where we put. Does that make sense? When you sow to spiritual things, God says, we will bless you. If there's $2, is all you have. There was one live, real life. It was such a blessing. There was this sister in Christ. She was just sharing a testimony and said, she had only $10. And that day, she felt that she needed a gift to the Lord. She said, $10, it means no money for lunch, you know. And she's a student. You know what she did? She gave her $10. Just trusting God. You know what she shared later? Someone said, hey, sorry so-and-so, I forgot to pay you what I owe you sometime back. You know, that was what happened to us recently as well. If you're willing to give, God will give you much more than you would ever expect. I cannot even tell you what it is. But I'll tell you one thing. I think this one I can share with you. You know, one of the blessings I had, I'll share you. I think those who came for Friday night, there are two blessings. I think this only my wife knew, but I'll share because I think it's very pertinent to what we're saying here. No reflection on my how holy I am, but I just want to share this, and I believe God just impressed on me. I just want to share. Hopefully you take in the right spirit. I was on my way of sending Jaira to school. I received a phone call from someone. And this someone said, Johnny, can I have your IC in your name? I said, why? Because we want to include you in our will. Should anything happen to us when we go to the States. You know, I'm praying, Lord, don't let anything happen to them. But for someone to think of, only God can put that in there. He has many friends. Why me? The more you give. I believe God will protect them. Because whatever they gave me belongs to God anyway. Think about that. I mean, there are so many blessings that God gave. But you know what? I preach as a pastor, not just from the word. I know it's true because God has shown me His principle in real life, drama. That's why I'm telling you, as people who want to follow Christ, don't put your heart so tightly tied to that wallet. I shared with you before, there was a soccer player, I think from South Africa. He earned millions, you know, those Premier League, they earn millions of dollars every week, right? There was this guy who has $12 million in his bank. And guess what happened to the bank? He went bankrupt. So what happened to his $12 million? Pooh, gone. What happened when the Lehman Brothers broke down? Gone. We need to be very careful where we... That's why Jesus said, well, for where your treasure is, what's it? Is your treasure spiritual things? You know, you put all your heart into it, but if your treasure is worldly things, then you have no heart for spiritual things, okay? It's either one or two. You cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot serve God in the flesh. You cannot serve God in what you want. It's only God or nothing else. Remember last week's message? Is God important or is God the most important? When you understand that, it applies to your bank account as well. Alright? Now, real quickly, we've got a few more minutes. I'll just go through the biblical pattern of giving. Does that make sense? Hopefully it's clear why we need to give. And according to how we give, God's going to give back to us.
While you were speaking, the answer came to me.
Okay.
It's part of His molding and shaping us in the right way.
Yeah, that's part of it as well. You know, sometimes, oh God, must I give? Okay lah. It actually happened to me one time. I think I shared before. I share again. There was one time we were in the ministry and someone actually gave us a love offering. And at the same time, we got a love offering. God says, give it back. I said, God, it's Chinese New Year. Time. And we did. You know, and it was hard at that time. On the Monday or the Sunday when we gave, one of the pastors called me, said, another church from so-and-so country will take us on for support. And for the few hundred dollars that was given, God says another church will support us consistently. Praise God. At that time, I think the molding process is so hard sometimes because sometimes our life is so tight to what we have. God says, unless you are willing to give, I cannot bless you. Because God wants to change us into His likeness. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ gave up for us? What did He give up for us? Everything. That is the pattern. If we are to be like Christ. Okay? Oh, Rajani, doesn't mean I sell my house and all that. I'm not saying that. Well, we're just starting by giving God your heart. Let's go through the biblical pattern of giving, then we'll go through these things, okay? Let me just go through some verses. Maybe on this side, if Jacob, you can turn to Psalm 50, verse 10 to 12. Agnes, you can turn to Deuteronomy 8:18. And Joanna, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 8:5. Then 2 Corinthians 9:7, we went through already. 1 Corinthians 16:2, we gave also. See ya. And then we'll all turn to Luke 21 next at the end, okay? What is a biblical pattern of giving? Psalm 50, verse 10 to 12.
For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof.
What is a biblical pattern of giving? The first thing we need to realize that all things belong to God. Everything that you have in your wallet right now belongs to God. Everything in your bank account belongs to God. Every food, every bread that you will ever eat belongs to God. Do you realize God gives us to make our life better? You know what? God says, I'm giving you all this. I'm just asking you for a portion back. You get to keep 90%. If we think that what we earn belongs to us, it's harder to give. But when we realize actually what I have, 100% belongs to God. God is okay if you ask me for 50% because it's yours anyway. Does that make sense? It's because we hang on to it as ours, we are not willing to let go. But when we say God, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. If you ask for 90%, I'll give it to you. Because it's yours anyway. Very important principle. In Singapore, there's this thing. If you send your child for a course, you don't pay for it, you don't take it, you take it, you kind of take it lightly, right? But if you pay for it, you every single thing also you must want, right? You know why? Because we think it's ours. We need to be very careful of that attitude. Of course, we must be accountable for what we pay for. Of course, we need to check, be wise stewards. But when God gives to us, God's principle of giving is, I'm giving this to you. It belongs to me. And I'm asking you only for a portion. Now, are you willing? You know what? Sometimes we, after you go through, okay? So, number one principle, the biblical teaching is, remember all things come from God. It belongs to God in the first place. Deuteronomy 8:18.
Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish
his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Number two, it is God who gives us the health to get your wealth. Because God can strike you down, and that is the end of your wealth getting. And that is the reason in Deuteronomy 8, if you read the verses before, God says, lest you be full and forget the Creator. Lest you be full and forget who it was that gave you health. You know what? God doesn't need thunder. God doesn't need an accident. God doesn't need anything to strike us down. He just needs a mosquito bite. Or it just gives something to go wrong, just like MRT station. You know, 28 years in service, just I don't know what happened. It affects so many areas. Okay? You know, there was one guy who said, God, you leave me alone, you know. If you are God, you strike me dead. There was one American illustration. Not just illustration, a real story. Some, after the preaching, this guy went to the bed, God, you leave me alone. If you're really God, you strike me dead. That day he got an insect bite. He died 1 week later. God don't need to strike you with lightning. Insight will do the job. Okay? Remember, everything we have belongs to God. Okay? The next one, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. Listen there. Oh, sorry, Joanna. If you would read 2 Corinthians 8 very carefully, Paul is actually encouraging the Corinthian Christians, be as generous as you can. Because there was this group, the Macedonian Brethren. The Macedonian Brethren, I heard this message by this particular preacher once. The poverty of this the Macedonian Brethren is likened unto people in India today that they don't even have proper meals. Okay? But those brethren in Macedonia say, look, Paul, we believe in your mission. We believe that God has sent you. And whatever little we have, Paul, please take. And these are people who don't have. These are people who don't have, even for their own families. And they say, Paul, you take. None of us here, unless it's by choice, all of us is probably taking our breakfast today. Agree? You know, these Macedonian brethren, the Indian people, the poverty is sometimes they only eat one meal a day. And you know what they say? Look, just take whatever we can give, Paul. In verse 5, Paul said, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Giving always begin when you have given yourself. Not just your heart, you know, yourself. Everything, your desires, your ambition, your future, everything, Lord, it is yours. And when you have done that, would to God, one of the principal visions of Ambassador, that we will be a giving church. Because the more we give, the more we will be like the Lord Jesus. The less we give, the less we will be like the Lord Jesus. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about our heart, our service, our attitude. That Lord, what I want is not important, but what you want. Surrender is the key to spiritual power and spiritual growth. And here, Paul had to encourage the Corinthian church by using Macedonia as an example, because why? They gave themselves to God first, okay? So, we need to give ourselves to the Lord. If we find it hard to give God ourselves, we will find it hard to give God our wallets and our purse. Okay? Is God speaking to you today? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. I think I'll just mention here, I think we read this before. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We need to give from the heart. Why? Why give from the heart? Why not give from the mind? Because if you give from the mind, you will start calculating. Whatever you purpose in your heart, give. Hello? I'm not saying being foolish. But I'm saying sometimes there's a need. There was one time, I think my wife knows this, many years ago, there was this guy, he's a non-believer, okay, but his wife is a member of our church. And so many times he used his wife to get money from the church. So one time he wanted to ask the church for a loan of $16,000. I remember that. And I said, wow, in my heart, so let's give, you know. Okay, in that situation, my heart would say, well, let's help, you know. Thank God another brother in the church said, wait, hang on. You're giving to someone who cannot even hold down a job, who is unfaithful. You need to be careful. God used this brother to protect me. Does that make sense? And so thank God. And so then I said, oh yeah, that's right. When I started thinking about it, yes, if I give, because he said, I'll promise to, this guy cannot even hold down a job. Because he's very fussy. After 3 months in the job, the one, move, not the one. And so the wife has to work to keep the family together. But God, because of the heart of giving, but then God would use people to protect you. So that you don't lose. Okay? And then we had this tank of a car, Stella, Honda Stella. It's a 2-liter car with a 1.6 engine, big one, like a tank one. So we could have sold that and give, but you know, God used a brother to protect us. But in other situations like this situation where God says give that offering, just give. Okay? We need to give from the heart, because once you start giving from the mind, once you start calculating, we won't give as much. Okay? The next one, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. We prepare to give on the first day of the week. Of course, there will be special offerings, but generally, in the first day of the week, Paul says, prepare to give. And Paul also says, give according to what God has prospered you. See, God is fair. If God has increased, given you increase, you got your salary for the week, a month, well, just give. You got bonuses. You see, this one principle, I'm going to touch on this, alright? It's not that one. I hope you all understand. If God gave you more, then we need to give more. Because it is an expression of our thankfulness to God for blessing us. Okay? There was one particular man, when he started in his life of work, he says, God, I promise I'm going to give you 10%. Okay? And so he gave above that. So over time, and he worked hard as a good Christian, he began to be promoted through the ranks. Okay, and so he did very well to the point that he became a CEO. And CEO earned millions of dollars. He said, God, I'll give you 90%. He had no problem. Why? Because he could live on the 10%. But because he was faithful in giving from the beginning, God says, I can bless this guy. You know why God can't bless us as much with what we have? Because we're not willing to give back to Him sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. Are you willing to give? I'm not talking about material blessings only. That would be the prosperity gospel. And that's an unscriptural gospel. But the Bible says, if you will give, God says, I will bless you. You know, as a family, we don't have much, but you know what? We have each other, and we have the Lord, and we have service, and we have the blessing of souls getting saved. What more do you want? Are you going to bring your money to heaven? Or you certainly can bring someone else to heaven, okay? We give according to as God has prospered us. The biblical pattern is to give to support the man of God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 to 14. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10 to 14. We'll be finishing soon. 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 9. Okay, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or saith He altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth shall plough in hope, and he that threshes out in hope shall be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap you carnal things? That means that if I've taught you the Bible, for example, if a preacher comes and teaches you the Bible, Paul says that, is it a big thing if I would be supported by you? In verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Paul says in verse 13, do we not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so had the Lord appointed that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. That is a Bible pattern. When an Old Testament principle is brought over to the New Testament, God intended it to be a continuous principle, an eternal principle. The tithing wasn't brought over. In fact, Jesus reinforced that and said, you give according to your heart. Does it make sense? The giving is there, but you give according to your heart. Does it make sense? Whereas the support of the man of God in the ministry is a mandated principle that God says, that is what I want you to do according to the church. And so where do we bring our offerings to? To the local church. To support the work of God. Where God put us. You know, there's people saying, oh, I want to support you for Christ. God says, bring it to the place that I appointed it. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 12, the tithes were to bring to the place that God has appointed, the temple of Jerusalem. But today, what is the house that God has given to us in the New Testament? 1 Timothy chapter 2, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that's where God wants the support to come in to. Okay? Any questions? Okay, the last one, let's turn to Luke chapter 21. The last one in terms of the verses, Luke chapter 12. What percentage should we give? What percentage should we give? Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Sorry, Luke 21, sorry, thank you. See my eyes. Thank you. Luke chapter 21, verse 1 to 4. I'll read the whole thing. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. The rich men, if you understand the Jewish temple giving, there were 12 boxes. 12 boxes. And so there are different offerings. And so the rich men will ask their entourage will come and they will pour in and clang, 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 clang. People, everyone knew how much they gave. Okay? You know why our offering bags are like this? Opaque. And many times you're taught, put it inside. So no one sees because your giving is between you and God. Okay? I'm not interested. That's why as last time it used to be that we had to keep the offering because no one else. But no, the principle in ministry, the pastor and the family should have nothing to do with signing checks, nothing to do with having money in the church. Alright, so that we won't be accused of anything. Okay, I know in some churches the pastor will sign, not an ambassador. Anyone in full time ministry should never have access to the money of the church. Okay, it should be taken care of by the members, okay? Trustworthy members. I'm sure all members are trustworthy. Okay? And so, but in Luke chapter 21 here, in verse 2, Jesus was watching what was happening, okay? In verse number 2, he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. 2 mites means a few cents. Okay? Verse 3, and he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this widow has cast in more than they all. Not possible, Lord. This guy cast in 30 pieces of silver. This person only 2 cents. You know what Jesus said in verse 4? For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of a penury has cast in all the living that she had. It's very important for us to understand this. God is not looking at how much we give. Are you listening? God is not looking at how much we give. He's looking at how much we are keeping. The rich have much. And a person who has $20 billion give $1 million to a church, or to us is a lot. God's not looking at that. God says, what are you going to do with the 999 million? Okay? God is not looking at how much we are giving. He's looking at how much we are keeping. I've given you all this. This all belongs to me. God says, I'm only asking a portion of it back from you. Okay? In summary, any questions? Let me just summarize, alright? Time is running out. But I hope I give you a clear understanding, okay? For those who missed it or came in late, please go into the internet to go through this again. I'll just summarize this. The principle of tithing a tenth was introduced in the Bible before the law. Okay? God says a tenth. It was mandated, it means that it was made compulsory in the Mosaic law. And there are three tithes. What are the three tithes? What are the three tithes? The Lord's tithe, the festival tithe, and the poor man's tithe. So if you want to live by the tithing of the Bible, you have to give 23 and a third percent. Okay? Coming to the New Testament, the tithe were never mentioned except in passing judgment or in use as an illustration. The principle of giving from the heart is given. The more we love God, the more we will give. We learn that it is not how much we give to God that God is looking at, but how much we are keeping for ourselves. Now, how do we practice it? Any questions on the summary? So, which means that the giving in the Old Testament was made compulsory under the Mosaic law. The principle of giving before the law, Jesus enhanced that by saying, you give according to how much you love me. If you are keeping more, and you know you can give more, you're keeping more because of certain, that means you don't trust me as much. Okay? So how do we practice this? Okay, I'm going to just give you some practical things that you can do. Alright, you can write it down. This has to do primarily with giving in the offering, alright? I'm just going to say this. When we first receive our salary, set aside what we want to give to the Lord first. When you first receive your salary, set aside what you want to give to the Lord first. As much as you purpose in your heart. Set aside first. Before your bills, before your education of your children, before anything else, put that aside first, because God says, the first belongs to me. That's a principle. So you set it aside, okay? So whether it's a 10th or 20th, I know people who give 20%, 30%, it's up to you. You give 50%. I know some children who give 50% of their allowance. Okay? Set it aside first. 10% will be a good starting point, because this is a practice of scripture. But you want to give less, that's up to you. It's between you and God. But it's a good starting point, because it appears to be a given percentage, but it's not a hard and fast rule, okay? But I can tell you, if anyone would do so, the needs of the church will be met immediately, monthly and regularly. When we receive more than our regular income or wherever, always aim to give a portion to the Lord, because you are thankful for His goodness towards you. You cannot receive something from God and don't give anything to Him. Does that make sense? Okay? So, during offering time, my suggestion is, you know, in America, what they have is very interesting. Some people who count the money and say, we don't just count money, we count paper clips, we count safety pin, we count car keys sometimes. You know why? Because during offering time, they just reach in the pocket, whatever comes out, they just put inside the offering. You know what you do? What I do is either, even before the service, I will put whatever I'll give to the Lord, whether you're here or here, so that after the offering, I don't have to scramble. During praying time, you hear all kinds of things. Prepare that. Okay, put here, in a Bible, in an envelope, whatever, so that the moment the offering bag, you can just open and put it in. Alright? That's a suggestion, alright? And it's been happening since 30 years ago. And I'm sure it's been happening for a long time. prepare your heart to give. But you know what? That kind of giving is not preparedness. You need to prepare your heart to give. In other words, you come, Lord, I'm going to give an offering to you this Sunday when I come. This is how much I'm going to give, Lord. And I pray you'll be pleased with what I give. Oh, yeah, yes, Lord, I remember you gave me some. So, Lord, I'm going to give you some extra because of what you've given to me. I can tell you, when we have that kind of practice, when our mind... You see, worship is not just about you singing well for the Lord. It's about how much you give to the Lord too. It's about how much you serve Him. Remember, what you give to the Lord is not just money. It's your life, your attitude, your ambitions. Are you willing to give your career to the Lord? Say, God, even if I don't do this, that's fine. Whatever you decide, Lord. Whether in anything. And I believe with all my heart, one of the vision for Ambassador is a surrendered church. A church that says, Lord, whatever you want. Of course, there's a lot of, we're going to deal with a lot of practical things next year, hopefully in training, in terms of how we manage our families and all that. But you know, one of the things, we need to be a church that is surrendered to Christ first, above all. And today, as we talk on the area of teaching, giving, may it set clearly in our hearts. The more you love God, the more you give. And I'm praying that, you know, even when we have the building fund, you notice we don't push, because it's free will. Whatever you want to give. You realize we actually have people outside of our church who wants to give. And I say, and they are Christians, at free will. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart. I'm not going to force you. There was not one time in the history of Ambassador we force anyone to give. We will present the need and say, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. People have given sacrificially, amounting to 2 to 3 months' salary. But that's up to them. That's up to them. People who buy things for church and all that, because you have budgeted, please claim. Thank God, many Christians say, it's okay, it's my offering to the Lord. I say, then God bless you. And it's very clear, whatever is given to the Lord in the local church that we have is for the ministry. The youth camp had some needs because of certain things spent. God's people gave for the ministry. We use for the ministry, full stop. We don't save. Okay? But we don't want white elephants. Okay? I'm very clear on that principle. Why? Because we don't buy because we want, we buy because we need, and because God lays on our heart to have it. Alright? Any questions before we close? Please feel free to discuss this, alright? Because I believe free will is the way to go. The more you love God, the more you give. Let's pray. Lord, people are quiet, so I'm not too sure what's going through their mind, but you do. God, I pray for a heart of loving you as much as the poor widow. She didn't have much, Lord, but she gave all that she could ever have. And I pray that, Father, as we think through these things, may every one of us have a conviction from today on of what they would like to give to you based on how much they love you. Oh God, that's sometimes quite painful, because when we really come down to the nuts and bolts and we really have to face ourselves, Lord, we need your grace. Lord, you are such a wonderful God. You have given your Son. You have poured out your blood. You allowed yourself to be insulted all because of us. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2, you gave up the glories of heaven so that you can save a worm such as us. But not only that, Lord, you gave us power, you gave us your Holy Spirit, you gave us your word, you gave us the church, you gave us people who care and love us, you gave us families who will love and care for us. That God, we might be the person you want us to be. Lord, we are eternally grateful, most of all for the salvation you've given to us. But God, help us to understand that you are in the process of changing us into Christ's image. Use us, Lord. And may you use this lesson. And may Ambassador Baptist Church, from this day forth, understanding the principles from the Bible, be a giving church. A church that give not only of their funds, but also of their time, of their love, of their help, of their service, for a God that deserves everything. And I pray for everyone who may be struggling, help us to see, Lord, you are worthy to receive all these things. Oh Father, help us. Help us not to love the things of this world. Help us to love you more. For the younger Christians, I pray they will not be stumbled, Lord, by this. And I pray that you will gently teach them from step to step, glory to glory, how they need to love you more. Lord, we know that you are very gentle with us. We pray that we will respond. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've got about 7 to 10 minutes for the